B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Beitza Davov. We're going to start from the very top of the Omud. Omar Rava, Mace, if a person passed away b'yom tov rishon on the first day of Yom Tov, yis'asku boy amamin. We know that to deal with a deceased person, to bury a person, to dig up the grave, to prepare the shrouds, involves many isurim, many melachas, and therefore, if somebody passed away on the first day of Yom Tov, then one should take care of his needs with a goy. B'yom Tov Sheni. However, if a person passed away on the second day of Yom Tov, on a Yom Tov Sheni, in Chutz Loretz, where they have on a regular Yom Tov, they have 2 days of Yom Tov, then Yis'asku bo Yisrael, then even a Yisrael is allowed to engage in doing what needs to be done for the deceased person, for the burial, etc. V'afilu b'shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, Rava says that even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that is true, that there is a leniency on the second day of Rosh Hashanah over the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Masha'en kein b'beitza, however, regarding an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's also even the second day, because, as we said before, that noil do b'zeh, asura b'zeh, there's no leniency whatsoever. The second day is just a seeming continuation of the first day. It's so to speak, a single long day. And therefore, regarding an egg that was laid on Rosh Hashanah, there's no leniency. Naharadoi omra. However, in Naharadoi, they said that af b'beitza, even regarding an egg that was laid on the first day of Yom Tov, then one is noil do b'zeh muteres b'zeh, one's allowed to eat this egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That means Naradoi argued with Rava and said that even regarding Rosh Hashanah, as far as the egg is concerned, there is a leniency on the second day. It's not considered a continuation with the same status as the first day. What would be your reason for saying that the second day of Rosh Hashanah is a continuation and has the same status as the first day, regarding the egg? Dilma ma'abrile le'elul. As we said earlier on, maybe the witnesses will come after the time of Mincha, and then we're not going to receive those witnesses anymore, as we saw earlier on. And then, nonetheless, the Chachomim said, keep the remainder of that first day, or what could have been the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the 30th day of Elul, keep it as Rosh Hashanah, as well as the next day, which is going to be Rosh Hashanah. And that would determine that Rosh Hashanah is actually 2 days, a long day of 48 hours, and not that we just have a doubt whether it's this day or that day, because if the witnesses don't come till the time of Mincha, we know absolutely that the first day is not Rosh Hashanah. Nonetheless, continue and keep the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. So you see, it's not misafik, rather it was a takona, a gezeira, of a 2 day Rosh Hashanah. And if it's a 2 day Rosh Hashanah, if it's considered a one long 48 hour day of Rosh Hashanah, if so, then there's no leniency on the second day over the first day. So the Gemara says, is that what you would be concerned about? And therefore, if an egg was born or was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it would remain osur even on the second day. Ha'omer of Chinuno bar Kahano Amarav, Mimois Ezra ve'eilech loimotzinu elul mu'ubor. We never found, it actually never happened that the Edim came that late. And therefore, in actual fact, the Chachomim never had to create this decree, never had to make this takana that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is considered a long day of 48 hours. And therefore, if it's not considered one long day of 48 hours, and it's just 2 days, which each day is a suffix, one day could be, it's one day is Rosh Hashanah, the other day is not, and we just don't know which one, then we can fathom a leniency in the second day over the first day. And if so, said Naradoi, therefore, that even regarding the egg, there is a leniency on the second day, and noil do b'zeh, muteres b'zeh, an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is allowed to be eaten on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And that's not like Rava said. Continues the Gemara, Omar Marzutra. Marzutra said that Loi Omron, this that Rava said, that Meis B'Yom Tov Sheni, that if a person died on the second day of Yom Tov, Yis'asku bo Yisrael, a Yisrael is allowed to engage in the burial. Loi Omron, Elo De'ishtoi. That's only true if there was some substantial delay between the time that the person passed away and waiting till the end of the second day of Yom Tov, where one can do a burial after that. Because if there's going to be some delay, then during that time, the body will start decaying and decomposing, and that's inappropriate, it's very not dignified, and therefore, the Chachomim said, you're allowed to bury him on Yom Tov. But if there was not going to be a lot of time between the time he passed away and the time they would bury him, Mashinonle, we wait till after Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi argued with Marzutra and claimed that the Afal Gav de Lo Yishtai, even if there's no time, even if this person passed away not long before the end of the second day of Yom Tov, of Yorosh Hashanah, Namiloi Mashinonle, nonetheless, we do not wait, and Yisrael can immediately engage in whatever's necessary for the burial. Ma'itam, Yom Tov Sheini Legabe Meis Kechil Shavu Rabbonon. Because the second day of Yom Tov, the Yom Tov Sheini Shel Goliyos, regarding the status, regarding the halachas of a deceased person, Kechil Shavu Rabbonon, the Chachomim said, you can view it as if it's a weekday, as if it's not Yom Tov. Afilu Lemegas Leiglima, even in order to cut the cloth to make the shrouds, ulamegas le'asa, or to cut the hadasim, which they would use, they would put onto the deceased person in honor and respect of the person. Omer Ravina, Ravina said, v'ho'idna, today in the times of Ravina, the Ikach Chavri, that they had this very wicked nation, that they would force Klal Yisrael to do labor, however, on Yomim Tovim, they would let them not do any work. And over here, Chai Shinon, Ravina was afraid that if you're going to bury people on the second day of Yom Tov, these Chavri, these the wicked nation, they're going to assume that it's not Yom Tov, and they're going to force Klal Yisrael to do all sorts of work. And therefore, Ravina said that all the while that these Chavri people are around, don't bury, Yisrael should not engage in any of these malachas in fear that it will get out of hand and these Chavri will catch them and make them all do malachas on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara. Ravina Av Yosef Kameda Rav Ashi. Ravina was sitting before Rav Ashi. B'shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, on the first of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Chazya, Ravina saw Dava Otziv, that Rav Ashi looked a bit down. He looked a bit atzut, a little bit depressed, or a little bit down. Omer Le, Ravina said to Rav Ashi, am I Otziv Mar? Why are you Otziv? Why are you down? Omale Rav Ashi said to him, Delo Yosivi Eruv Tavshilin, because I forgot to make an Eruv Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov. We're going to learn about Eruv Tavshilin later on in the Masechta, but if Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday, Friday, and you want to prepare for Shabbos, you're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos if you started preparing for Shabbos before Yom Tov. And that's the concept of Eruv Tavshilin. And Rav Ashi forgot to make an Eruv Tavshilin before Rosh Hashanah, and now he won't be able to cook on Friday the next day for Shabbos, for the day after that. And that's why he was looking a little bit down. Omer Leis, Ravina said to him, V'loisiv mar ho'idna, why don't you make the Eruv Tavshilin today, on Thursday? Miloy Omar Rava, did Rava not say, Maniach Odom Eruv Tavshilin miyom tev lechaveroi umasne? Even though the concept of Eruv Tavshilin means that you started cooking before Yom Tov, but if you have 2 days of Yom Tov and you don't know, then really, for all intents and purposes, only one of those days is actually Yom Tov. The other one is a weekday. We just don't know which day is the real Yom Tov, so we keep both days Yom Tov. So what you can do is you can make an Eruv Tavshilin on the first day of Yom Tov, and then you can say and make a condition like this and say, if today is Yom Tov, what I'm doing is, you can't make an Eruv Tavshilin on Yom Tov, then what I'm doing now is nothing. But then the next day, Friday, is not Yom Tov, because in actual fact, only one day is Yom Tov. And then you can cook on Friday for Shabbos, no problem, it's a weekday. And if today is not Yom Tov, and the real Yom Tov is tomorrow, Friday, then today, Thursday, I'm making an Eruv Tavshilin as Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, whichever way you hold it, the next day you'll be able to cook. So that's what the Omer of Maniach Odom Eruv Tavshilin miYom Tov lechaveir. You can make an Eruv Tavshilin on the first day of Yom Tov for the second day of Yom Tov, if the second day of Yom Tov is Friday, umasna, and make this condition, as we said. Omale. So Rav Ashi says, Eimed Omer Rava, when did Rava say that you can make this sort of condition? Is only b'shnei yomim tovim shel goliyos. It's only a regular Yom Tov Sheni, where each day is independent of the other day, and there only one day is really considered Yom Tov, and the other day is just a suffix. So if you have a doubt, one day is Chol, one day is Kodesh, you can make this condition. But regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Mi Omar, did Rava say that? And we already saw earlier that Rava ruled like Rav in all three halachas. And the second halacha was that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golyos, Noel Dabazeh Muteres Bazeh. But the third halacha of Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Noel Dabazeh Asura Bazeh. So Ravina answered back to Ravashi, V'ha'omar Naradoi, af beitzim uteres, we saw at the beginning of our Omud, Naradoi hold that even regarding Rosh Hashanah, we say that it's not one long day, and Noel Dabazeh Muteres Bazeh, and each day is viewed as a suffix, and therefore this condition should work. So that's what Ravina mentioned or argued against Ravashi. Omar Le Rav Mordecha. Rav Mordecha, who was a disciple, was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, responded to Ravina and said, "Beferish Omali Ma, Rav Ashi, my Rebbe, told me explicitly that he doesn't hold, and Aloch is not like Naradoi, and therefore we stay with what we know that regarding Rosh Hashanah, Nil Dabazeh, Asura Bazeh, it's considered as one long Kedusha of 48 hours, and therefore such a condition would not work." Continues the Gemara, we're now starting a new topic, or a related topic, but a new topic, and this is Itmar Efroyach Shenoilad B'Yomtev. You had an egg from before Yomtev, and it hatched on Yomtev. I mean, till now we've been discussing an egg that was laid on Yomtev, is one allowed to eat the egg? Now we're talking about a chick that was hatched on Yomtev, is one allowed to eat that chick on Yomtev or not? Rav Omar Osur, Rav says you're not allowed to shech this chick and eat it on Yom Tov. It's Muktzah. Well, Shmuel Omar, Shmuel argues v'teim Rabbi Yechanon, it's either Shmuel or Rabbi Yechanon, Omar Mutter, you are allowed to shecht this chick. Rav Omar Osur, Rav says it's Osur because Muktzah, because we know that the status of Muktzah is determined at the time that Shabbos comes in, Shabbos or Yom Tov comes in, Bein HaShmoshes. If Bein HaShmoshes, it was not mukhan, it was not prepared to be used by a person, it was muktzah, it was set out of his mind, it was he had no intentions or ability to use it, then it's considered muktzah, and it stays muktzah for the entire day. As we know, the rule, migud iskatzoi Bein HaShmoshes, iskatzoi kule yoyma. If it was set aside, if it was muktzah during Bein HaShmoshes, it remains that way for the entire day. So Rav says, it's muktzah. Because when Yom Tov came in, this chick couldn't be shechted. It was still inside the egg. And therefore, it was out of his mind. And therefore, it was muktzah. Ushmuel v'teim Rabbi Yechanan Omar, mutter. Shmuel, as we saw, argued with Rav and said one's allowed to shecht it. Hoyel u'matir atzmi b'shchita. In the same way as hatching actually changes the status of this chick from being a sheretz, which is something which is not able to be shechted, so to speak. And it's got a totally different status. It's not considered a food item. It's just a sheretz. It's a creepy animal which you're not allowed to eat. And we're going to learn more about this soon on Ahmed Base. In the same way as the hatching transferred this chick from being a sheretz to being edible, so too it removed its status from being muktzah to being not non-muktzah. That is what Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan held. Omale Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi. L'Rav, Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked on Rav, v'chima bein ze le'egel shenoilad b'yom tov. You Rav say that a chick that gets hatched on Yom Tov is osur, it's muktzah. But you Rav agree that a calf that's born on Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht it. Why is a calf less muktzah than a chick? Omar lohu, hoyil u'muchan agav imoy b'shchita. Says this calf, it was ready to be shechted even before it was born. If you say, I have to wait for it to be born, and since during Bein HaShmoshes it wasn't born, it wasn't ready to become a food item, I can understand it's muktzah, like the chick. But over here, I don't need to wait for it to be born to shecht it. How can you shecht it when before it was born? Yes, there's a halacha that if you shecht the mother, then whilst the calf is inside the mother, then the shechita is valid for the calf as well. It's as if you shechted the calf. You don't need to then afterwards re-shecht the calf. And since I didn't need to wait for it to be born in order to be able to eat it Bein HaShmoshes, I could have just shechted the mother on Bein HaShmoshes of Yom Tov, therefore it's not muktzah, unlike the chick that I couldn't do anything with it at the beginning or during Bein HaShmoshes. Asks the Gemara, that's all very good when the shechita of the mother would allow you to then be able to eat the calf. But that's not always the case. What happens if the mother was a trefa, which means the mother had a type of a wound that we knew it cannot survive 12 months, and you're actually not allowed to eat that mother even if you shecht it? It's called a trefa. Well, the question is, if you're then going to shecht that mother, then you can't rely on the shechita of the mother, because the only way you can rely on the shechita of the mother is by assuming that the calf is an extension of its mother. Over here, if the calf were to be viewed as an extension of its mother, it would be an extension of a trefa, and it would be also to eat it. So it must be that you cannot rely on the shechita of the mother, and you have to shecht the calf itself. And if you shecht the calf itself, you can't do that. It hasn't yet been born. So that's what the Gemara is asking to Rav. Uma bein ze le'egel shenoylat min ha'treifa. But this calf that was born from a treifa, if it was born from a treifa, you can shecht it. And you, Rav, agree that you can shecht it. Then why do you say that if this calf was born from a treifa on Yom Tov, I can shecht it? Why can you shecht it? If the only reason that you told me before was that the reason that the calf can be shechted in Yom Tov is because when Yom Tov came in, I could have shechted its mother, and that would have sufficed to turn to the calf into something I can eat, and therefore it's not muktza, that wouldn't be true by a treifa. By a treifa, you actually have to wait for it to be born before you can shecht it, because otherwise it's going to have a status of treifa. And if you, Rav, say that I can shecht even a calf born from a treifa, then why should the chick be any different? Shosik Rav, and Rav did not respond. He didn't answer. Omar Rabba v'Tamer of Yosef. My Tamer Shosik Rav. Why did Rav not respond and say as follows? Leimeluhu, he should have answered. Hoyelu muchan agav imoy liklovim. He says because the calf, that means the mother being a treifa, and a regular animal, the mother of this calf, is not designated to be given as food for the dogs. It's going to be eaten by human beings. If the mother is a treifa, then the human beings got nothing to do with it. Yisrael can't eat it, even if you shecht it. So what's it good for? As food, for meat, for the dogs. So he's saying now that since this was already a treifa before Yom Tov came in, then during Bein Hashmoshes, this was slated to become animal food, dog's food, and therefore it's not mukta. Anything that's fit, either for an animal or for a person, is not considered as mukta. So why did Rav not answer that the chick, all the while it hasn't hatched, you can't do anything with it? You can't even give it to a dog. A dog can't eat a chick if it's inside the shell, if it's inside its egg. But this animal, this treifa mother with the child inside, could easily be sent to the dogs. Omar le Abaya. Abaya answered and said, I'll explain to you why Rabba didn't give that answer. I'll explain to you why Rabba, even though he knew that this animal could have been thrown to the dogs, but since we want to use the calf to be used and eaten by a person by shechting it, Rav says it's considered muktzah. That means the fact that it could have been, that means as far as animal food is concerned, it's not mukta. As far as food for a human being, it is considered mukta. And Abaye is saying as follows, Hashta, if muchen le'odom, lo'y hava muchen le'klovim, if even something which is food for a person, when it comes to animals, it's considered mukta, because it was not set aside to be given to animals. I'm going to skip a few lines. Muchen leklovim have a muchen laodam. Are you going to suggest that just because it was fit to be given to the dogs, that it's considered muchen, prepared for an odom, and shouldn't be mukta? Of course it's going to be mukta. And that's what Abaya said to Rav or Rav Yosef, that's the reason that Rav didn't answer that. And indeed, according to Rav, we have to understand why. That means why the chick is osa when it was hatched on Yom Tov, and why a calf of a treifa is allowed to be shechted and is not mukta. And don't tell me that the reason it's not mukta is because it could be given to a dog. You're right, it could be given to a dog, but that's still considered mukta relative to the food of a person. Now let's see it inside with the proofs that Abaya brings. Hashta muchen le'odom, something that's prepared for human being. Loi have a muchan klovim is not considered prepared and set aside also for an animal. And therefore, as far as the animal is concerned, It's still considered muktzah. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mechat chimes adluin lifnei abehema. One's allowed to cut a delas, this vegetable called delas, for a behema. It's not considered unnecessary effort. Ves hanavela, you're allowed to cut up a nevela lifnei aklovim for the dogs to be able to eat them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Em loy ha'ison nevela me'erev Shabbos. If when Shabbos came in, this animal was still alive, then it was not fit for the dogs because the animal was still alive. And for all intents and purposes, it was going to be shechted and eaten by a person. So if when Shabbos came in, it was not designated for the dog because it was not yet a nevela, then im lo nisnavla, im lo yis a nevela me'erev Shabbos, asura. Then on Shabbos, then when Shabbos came in and now it's a nevela, and now it's fit for the dogs, it's also, it's muktza. It's, since it was not ever designated to be for a dog, even though it was designated to be for a person, nonetheless, it stays also lefisha eino min hamuchen. It's considered not prepared for the animal. So Abaye continues, muchen leklovim. So something which is fit for the dogs, like the treifa that we're talking about in our Gemara, have a muchen leodom. You're going to say it's considered fixed and prepared for a human being, that the calf born from this treifa should not be considered mukta. Omar le, so Rav Yosef or Rabba answered back to Abaye, in yes. I don't understand what you're saying. Muchen la'odom, lo yava muchen leklovim. You're right, that if it's set aside for a human, then it's not considered set aside and prepared for an animal. Why? Demay dechozi le inish, lo yishodi le leklovim, because anything that's fit to be eaten by a person is not going to throw to the dogs. But muchen leklovim, that's not a contradiction, that something that is prepared and fit for the dogs, have a muchen la'odom, is still considered muchen and prepared for a person. The daite d'inish, because a person's mind is akol midi dechozile, on anything that's fit for him. And therefore, says Rabba or Rav Yosef, that Rav should have answered to say that the chick was not fit for anything, that's why it was muktzah when Shabbos or Yom Tov came in. Talking about Yom Tov. However, this calf that was born from a treifa, it's when Shabbos came in, it was fit for the dogs, because the mother was a treifa. That's true, but that doesn't mean that a person set his mind aside as if to say that as far as the food for a person, it's not set aside for a person. No, it's fit for the dogs, and if at any point there's going to be part of this that's going to be fit for a person, I haven't set my mind away from it. And therefore, when this calf, which is the calf itself is not a treifa, is going to be born, then I'll shecht it, and then I'll be able to eat it, and there should be no issue of muktzah. And that was what Rav Yosef or Rabba asked against Rav. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavah Seyda Rav, Tanya Kavah Seyda Shmuel. We saw that there was a machlekas, Shmuel Vitema Rabbi Yechanan, we saw the machlekas regarding a chick that was hatched on Yom Tov. Rav says it's Aser, you're not allowed to shech this chick on Yom Tov, and Shmuel says it's Mutar. We're going to have a braisa that seems to fit each of these opinions. Tanya Kavah Seyda Rav, the following braisa, Egel a calf shenoylad be Yom Tov Mutar. A calf that was born on Yom Tov is mutter. If you're allowed to shecht it, it's not mukta. Efroyach shenoylad be Yom Tov osur. However, a chick that's hatched on Yom Tov is osur. Uma hefresh ben zeh lezeh. What would be the difference between them? Zeh muchen agav imay b'shchita. Zeh inay muchen agav imay. As we saw before, regarding shchita, even an unborn calf, you could turn it into food here and now, even during Bein Hashmoshes, when Yom Tov is coming in, because even though it's not yet been born, so you can't shecht it, but you can shecht the mother. And shchita of the mother applies to the yet unborn calf as well. However, when it comes to the chick, even if you were to shecht the mother, the chicken, the hen, that would not mean that the chick is considered shechted. And therefore, the chick itself, when Yom Tov came in, was not edible. It wasn't yet born, and therefore it wasn't yet hatched. And since it was not hatched and not able to be turned into a food item, it's muktzah. Tanya Kavah Seyda Shmuel V'Teimer Rabbi Yochanan, a braisa to the other opinion that says that it's mutter, that says Egel Shenoylad Be Yom Tov Mutter. A calf that was born on Yom Tov is mutter. You can shecht it on Yom Tov. Ve'efroyach Shenoylad Be Yom Tov Mutter. And a chick that gets hatched on Yom Tov is also mutter. My tama, ze muchen agav imoy, ze matir atzmei b'shchita. As we saw before, that regarding the calf, the reason it's not muktzah is because when Yom Tov came in, you could have shechted the mother, and then even the calf yet unborn is considered shochut. And regarding the chick that got hatched, since the hatching of the chick turned it from a sheretz into an oichel, into something that's edible, then the hatching itself also managed to turn it from muktzah to not muktzah. It released it from its status of muktzah. That's how Rashi seems to explain on Amud Aleph. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Efroyach shenoilad b'yom tov osur. A chick that's hatched on Yom Tov is osur. And this is one opinion we already saw, that Rav holds this way. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and this is a third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov oimer af b'chol osur. A chick that hatches on a regular weekday, it's osur, you can't shecht it yet. Because it has not yet opened its eyes. Asks the Gemara, Keman oz lehoda tanya, which tanya is the following braisa going on? The Pasuk says, anything that goes on its stomach, there's a concept called a sheret, something that's creepy, something that creeps along the floor, and it's a sheret and is not allowed to be eaten. So the braisa says that lechol hasheret hasheret al haoretz l'rabbo is the extra words are coming to tell us that a freichim, that a chick, shaloinis patroneim, that have not yet opened their eyes, are also considered a sheret, and they're not yet allowed to be eaten. They're not yet food items, you can't shecht them yet. Kaman, says the Gemara, you want to know who that Bryce is following? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that we just saw. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav. Rav Huna is going to give us a statement in the name of Rav that seems extremely cryptic, and we're going to have four or five different ways of understanding it. Beitz on egg, im yitzi osa, with its coming out, when an egg is laid, nigmaro, that's when it's fully formed, that's when it's a finished egg. So ask the Gemara, my im yitzi osa nigmaro, what are you trying to impress on us by telling us that, what halachic ramifications are there with the fact that as it's laid, that's when it becomes fully formed? And Ilema, are you going to suggest, and this is suggestion number one, that im yitzi osa nigmara umuteres le'ochlo b'cholov. What it means to say is that now the egg is no longer a part of the hen, it's a separate entity, and it's no longer considered miti. It's not considered any more part of the chicken, it's now an entity of its own and can be cooked and eaten with milk. Oh, but what would we deduce from there? That b'mei ima, if you would find an egg not yet laid, you would find it inside the mother, inside the hen, asura le'ochlo b'cholov, it's still considered as part of the hen, and therefore, so to speak, it's meaty, and you're not allowed to eat it with milk. Would that be true? Could that be what Rav is saying? Well, Tanya, did we not learn in a braisa? Hasheichet is atar negoilis if you shech the hen, u'motzo b'beitz and gmurois, and you find fully formed eggs inside the hen, mutoris le'ochlo b'cholov, you're allowed to eat them with milk. So you see clearly that even eggs that have not yet been laid are not considered meaty, and you're allowed to eat them with milk. So Rav couldn't be trying to impress on us that only once they're laid, they're allowed to be eaten with milk. Elo, the Gemara gives a different suggestion. What does it mean, im yitzi osa nigmaro, that when the egg is laid, that's when it's fully formed? We're talking about an egg that was laid on Erev Yom Tov, and it's fully formed on Erev Yom Tov, an egg that was hatched on Erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov because it was hatched on Erev Yom Tov. So what should be the problem? And what would we deduce from there? However, if you found an egg inside the mother on Yom Tov, it wasn't hatched before Yom Tov, it was found in the mother on Yom Tov, then Asura. In that case, Asura le'ochla b'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat this egg on Yom Tov. And Rashi explains the reason for this would be because of Hachana de Rabba we saw on Daf Beis, that the Yom Tov food has to be prepared on a weekday before. And this egg, since it was not laid before Yom Tov, when was it fully formed? Or when was it formed? It finished being formed and prepared on Yom Tov. It hasn't even been laid yet. And since it was finished being formed on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Vahotanya, Is that really what Rav is coming to tell us? That if you find an egg inside the mother, inside the hen, on Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to eat it? We learned in the Braisa, Sheichet es ha-tarnegoles, if you shech the hen, u-motzo bo beitim gemurois, mutoris lo-ochlam b'yom tov. If you find an eggs, ready-made, fully formed eggs inside a hen, you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. That's contrary to what Rav is trying to deduce, according to the second explanation in Rav. V'chiteima, are you going to say that komash malon bebraisa maidelo yashmi'inon b'masnisin? The Gemara's got a very simple solution, and the Mefarshim discuss why this should be true. We don't find this in most other places in Shas. But the Gemara is suggesting that since this Braisa is telling us something which it doesn't say in any Mishnah anywhere, then if Rebbe HaKodesh, the one who formed the Mishnayis, chose not to include this halacha in the Mishnayis, it's clearly because we don't hold that way. So don't refute Rav by bringing us a braisa that says that if you find an egg inside a hen on Yom Tov that you're allowed to eat it. There's no such indication from any Mishnah anywhere, and if there's no indication from any Mishnah, it's not the halacha. And therefore, Rav has gotten, there's no issue with Rav. Rav said it's asa. Says, but don't say that, says the Gemara. Honami tanina. Because we did learn this is not a halacha that's totally off the charts, that's not in any Mishnah. Because what did we learn in our Mishnah at the beginning of our Masechta? Beitza shenolda b'yom tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, b'shamayim im teichel, b'shilalim im lay teichel. There was a machlekas we saw, b'shamayim b'shilal, whether you can eat an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. But they're clearly arguing only regarding an egg that was laid. But what's about an egg that was not yet laid? They're only arguing by an egg that was laid. But if it's a yet unlaid egg, which means it was still inside the hen, everybody says it's okay. Because once it's born, we have an issue. Is there hachona de rabba? Is there no? How does it work with hachona? But when you have an egg that's not yet been laid, then over there, everybody, also b'shamay and also b'shidl, will say that it's mutter. And if so, that's exactly what that Braisa is saying. That means we're deducing from our Mishnah, the same as that Braisa, that everybody agrees that an egg that's found inside a hen on Yom Tov is mutter to be eaten. So when Rav says that when Rav gave his statement that it's nigmara, the b'yitziaso is nigmara, that only when it's laid, then it's finished. But when it's unlaid and you find it inside the hen on Yom Tov, it's Asura, it's against the Braisa, it's against what it seems to be in our Mishnah. How can Rav say that? V'chiteima, are you going to say that no, Rav is actually following Beis Hillel? Because how are we going to learn our Mishnah? Instead of learning our Mishnah like we just suggested, that the Mishnah is only arguing by a laid egg, whether you're allowed to eat it on Yom Tov or not, if it was laid on Yom Tov, maybe they're also arguing by a laid egg, but also arguing with an egg that's not been laid, that's still inside the hen. And could it be that Beis Hillel say even an egg that's not yet been hatched is osur, and then that would conform with what Rav is saying, and then it won't be a question against Rav. Rav will be following Beis Hillel. You can ask me a question that if they're arguing also regarding an egg which has not yet been laid, why is the Mishnah then only discussing a laid egg? V'haydik toni noilda. The reason the Mishnah discusses an egg that's laid on Yom Tov, lo'idiyach ha'koychon de b'shamay, to tell us an extra chiddush of Beis Shammai, da'afilu noilda namishari, that even an egg that was laid on Yom Tov is also mutter to be eaten on Yom Tov. And that's why the Mishnah chose to speak about a laid egg, but that doesn't mean that Beis Hillel won't hold that when the egg is not yet laid, that it'll be asur. No, it'll be mutter. He'll say that even there, it's asur. And then Rav, who the second explanation in Rav that says that yitziyasa nigmara means that only because it was laid before Yom Tov, but if it was found on Yom Tov inside the hen, then asura it's asur, like Beis Hillel. But we have an issue with that. If that's how you're going to learn the Mishnah, that Beis Hillel say that even an egg that's found inside the hen is also to be eaten on Yom Tov, then we're going to have a problem. Let's go back to that Braisa, Lohod Tanya, this that we learned in the Braisa. That Sheichet es ha-tarnegoles u-motzubo beitzim gmurois mutoris le'ochlein b'yom tov. That this Braisa that says explicitly that if you find eggs inside the hen on Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat them. Who is this going on? Money. Loi Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, the Braisa wouldn't be talking about the eggs found inside the hen. The Braisa would be telling us even a laid egg, according to Beis Shammai, is mutter. What? So if the Braisa is speaking about an egg that was found inside the hen, it's clearly to tell us that it's only because it's not yet been laid that it's mutter, that you're allowed to eat it. And that's not Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai now, Mishnah, say even a laid egg is mutter on Yom Tov. And what are you going to say? V'loi Beis Hillel. But are you going to say it's Beis Hillel? But you just said now, according to Beis Hillel, even an egg that's laid, that's even an egg that's not laid, even an egg that's found inside the hen on Yom Tov is also Osa. So this Bryce is not following anyone, not Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel. And that doesn't make sense. So what do we have to say? We have to say that indeed, according to Beis Hillel, that he's only arguing by a laid egg and non-laid egg. Even Beis Hillel will agree that it's mutter. And that's who this Bryce is following. But if so, we're back to our question. If a non-laid egg, if an egg found inside the hen is mutter, also according to Beis Shammai, also according to Beis Hillel, and that's how you're going to learn our Mishnah, then if so, you've got a question that Rav, who said the Osir, is not following anyone. So the Gemara has to find a third suggestion how to understand Rav. Elo, im yitzi oso nigmaro. It must be that when Rav said that im yitzi oso nigmaro, it's trying to tell us something else. It's trying to tell us umegadeles efroichin, that what Rav is impressing on us is to say that only an egg that's been laid is a type of egg that can produce chicks. However, an egg that's found inside b'mei imo eino megadeles efroichim. But an egg that's found inside a chicken that was never formally laid is not the type of egg that can produce a chick. L'mai nafka mino? What would be the difference? Who cares? It can produce a chick, it can't produce a chick. What's Rav trying to impress on us? Says the Gemara, yes, there's a very big difference. L'mekach u'memkar, when it comes to sales. In business, when somebody wants to buy something and he tells his supplier, give me a specific item, you have to give him the right item. So it's true that if he gives him the similar item, just the quality is not as good, then you can just refund the difference. But to give him a different item, then the whole sale is null, is void, and he can ask for a refund. Ki ahuda omar luhu. This person who's asking, who's crying out, Beya de Pachio Leman, who's got to sell me eggs from a live hen? The Pachio could mean a hen that is chatting, that's making a noise. Either way, we're talking about a laid egg, an egg that was laid from a live hen, not a hen that was shechted and they found an egg inside. Yovile Beya de Shchuta. And what they do? They gave this person an egg that was taken out from the inside of a shechted hen. It was not properly laid. They came to Rabbi Ami and asked him, what should we do here? I asked him explicitly for an egg from a live hen. And he gave me an egg from a hen that was not live, that was shechted. Omer lohu. Rabbi Ami said, mekach tosu. The sale is invalid, v'hodar, and you give him a full refund. Asks the Gemara Pshita, what's the chiddush and what's going on here? Of course, I don't understand. Why do you need a whole court case and a whole question of Ami? It's partial. He asked for A, he got B. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'udatem, I may have thought, Haile achiluka bo'eluhu. This person that was asking for an egg that was laid by a live hen, it could be that he wanted to eat the egg. He didn't want the egg in order that it should be able to produce a chick. The reason he asked for an egg that is coming from a live hen was mishum de tzrivon. It's just because it's a better egg, it's a nicer egg, it tastes better, it's more nutritional. He might have had some preference, but not that it was a different type of egg, and therefore there's no reason to undo the sale. Just give him the difference. L'may nafkemina, l'may sulan beina beina. And the difference will be that just pay him, refund him the difference between a better type of an egg that was laid by a live hen, then and an egg that was not laid. But to undo the whole sale as if this is not what I asked for, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Komash malono, we are allowed to assume that if he asked for an egg that was laid by a live hen, we assume that he wanted it in order to be able, it should hatch into a chick, and therefore giving him an egg that was not laid by a live hen, and we said that it's eino megadeles efroichim, therefore it's a different item, it's not what he asked for, and therefore the whole mekach, the whole sale is undone. A similar incident, Ahuda Omaluhu, somebody who was asking, Beir de Duchra Leman, who's got an egg that was fertilized, an egg that the hen actually was warmed up by a male, and therefore it's a type of egg, it's a specific type of egg, it's a fertilized egg, and it's only those eggs that can actually hatch into chicks. Beir de Duchra Leman, who's got such an egg that was laid with a male with a chicken there? Yovule Beir de Safna Me'ara. They actually gave him an egg that the hen, before making this egg, actually warmed itself up, not with a male, rather warmed itself up just by rubbing itself on the ground. That's called Safna Me'ara. And therefore, this type of egg was never fertilized and will never hatch into a chick. And they gave him this type of egg, a Safna Me'ara egg, not a Beir de Duchra. Also, they came to Rav Ami. He said here too, this is not, the sale is invalid, give him a full refund. Again, the Gemara asks Pshita. He asked for A, he got B. Says the Gemara, no. We may have thought that maybe the, even though he asked for an egg that was fertilized, he didn't want it for the chicks, he wanted just to eat it. And this that he said he wants a fertilized egg is mishum d'shaminon tfei, it's a fatter type of egg, but he wants it to eat. The ramifications of that would be lemesiv lebeina beina, refund him the difference between this type of egg and this type of egg. He wanted the fat egg to eat, and you gave him a less quality egg. Pay him, give him back the difference. Kumash malon. Rav Ami was trying to impress on us. No, if he asked for a fertilized egg, we assume he wanted it for the chicks, and therefore giving him an egg that can't produce a chick, if it's not what he asked for, and the whole sale is null. Continues the Gemara of Eboy, Seima, I'll give you another suggestion in what Rav could have meant. When Rav said, Beitzo im yitzioso nigmaro, what could he mean? My im yitzioso nigmaro, that what he means is that im yitzias rubo, what Rav meant to impress on us was that as soon as most, the majority of the egg has already come out, then nigmaro, at that time, it's already considered as fully formed. And this is regarding Yom Tov. That if this egg, majority of it came out before Yom Tov, and just it finished being laid on Yom Tov, it's considered as if it was laid before Yom Tov and is mutter to be eaten on Yom Tov. It's not considered a Beit Sashenelda be Yom Tov. Im Yitzias Ruba nigmaro, or could Rabbi Yechanon, and like Rabbi Yechanon, Domer Rabbi Yechanon, Beitzo sheyotza ruba me'erev Yom Tov, v'chazra, muteres le'ochla b'Yom Tov, an egg that was mostly came out on Erev Yom Tov, and then it went back in, and then it came out again on Yom Tov, it's mutter to eat it on Yom Tov, it's not considered a Beitzo sheneilda b'Yom Tov, because it was already laid on Erev Yom Tov when the majority of the egg came out. V'ikid Omer, others say a little bit differently. My imitiosa nigmara, what does Rav mean when he said that when the egg is out, that's when it's fully formed? Imitias kulom nigmara. What he means to say is that only when the entire egg is out, only then it's considered as being laid. And if that was before Yom Tov, obviously it's laid before Yom Tov, you can eat it on Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, if it comes out, if it finishes coming out on Yom Tov, it's considered noiled up Yom Tov and is osur on Yom Tov. Only if the whole egg is laid, that's when it's called fully formed, fully laid. Aval ruba, but only the majority comes out, loy, it's not considered as laid. And in contrary to Rabbi Yechanan, in order to come and impress on us, not like Rabbi Yechanan just said a couple of lines earlier that the majority being laid is considered as fully laid, Rav is coming to say no, only a mitziasa, when the whole thing is laid, that's when it's nigmara. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.